franchise guys. They step up when their team needs it the most. De'Aaron Fox, is he in that category? Do you think that he can lead this team, maybe not this year, but at any point, do you think De'Aaron Fox can be a franchise guy on a championship team? That's the question. And this offseason, when names get thrown around, we've talked about the city. We've talked about the coach. But what do other players think about De'Aaron Fox, right? Do they think that they can be a good Robin to his Batman? In a perfect world, is De'Aaron Fox a Robin on a really good team? I don't know, but we are going to know a lot more towards the end of the season. And this is an opportunity for De'Aaron Fox to put himself in that category. Dudes that are franchise guys, they make things happen when the situations aren't perfect. And this is an opportunity for De'Aaron Fox.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's huge. I mean, they need him to be great. It's not good. They need him to be the De'Aaron Fox that we saw the first 2 months of the season, where he was at 30 points a game and he was shooting 40% from three. I don't know necessarily if he needs to shoot that well from three, but he has to be near that 30-point-per-game mark. They need the points. They need somebody to put pressure on defense. We need somebody who the defense is afraid of. We've talked about at length this equal opportunity offense. Shouldn't be that way anymore. Mm-hmm. This needs to be a dictatorship.
Yeah.
As this is like, you know, in Remember the Titans, this is Coach Boone's team, okay? Mm-hmm. This is De'Aaron Fox's team.
That's right.
The rest of this way. And, you know, the success of the team overall is going to be on the shoulders of how ridiculous De'Aaron Fox plays in this stretch. I just saw a number on Twitter that said, you know, in this little Maverick stretch here where Luka is – in his last 11 games, Luka Doncic, 11-0, 31 points per game, 9.9 rebounds, 9.9 assists. His team is 11-0. De'Aaron needs to make sure that if the Kings lose games, it's not his fault. Mm-hmm. That needs to be the last person that we even consider blaming for them losing a game. I'm okay if De'Aaron, you know, is a bit aggressive, and if sometimes we're like, you know, I don't know if he should take this shot, because at the end of the day, all of the pressure and the point of this segment – the end of the year, if the Kings don't make the playoffs, there's going to be a lot of questions about De'Aaron Fox. No one's going to be talking about, hey, is Kessler, is Keegan Murray right, capable of lifting a team?
No.
All of the conversation is going to be, is De'Aaron Fox good enough to be a number one on a championship team like you presented? So if he wants those questions to be quieted, he's going to have to show something here down the stretch, because really, we haven't talked about it much, but Domantas Sabonis has definitely taken the crown of, hey, put the team on my back. I got us for really the past month and a half. He has been the Kings' best player, and we're getting to the point in the season where things need to start shifting, and playoff time needs to be De'Aaron Fox time.
916-339-1140. Let's get out to Alan, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Alan? What you got for us?
Hey, you guys. I just want to let you know you're officially my favorite show of the day now.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
And I'm not just saying that at the risk of being Brown Noser of the Year. I like Chris Watkins' style because he's a guy who doesn't put on airs, but he's just like one of us and basically tries to tell it like it is. But you guys both together have astute analysis, and that's no joke.
Thank you. Really appreciate it, Alan. Thank you.
And I don't know if you guys saw this. This is the reason I called. I was really happy, like most of us, to see Sasha out there. And Brown had a lot of guts leaving him out in extended minutes because he's quick to yank him, as you've probably noticed this year. Mm-hmm. And I saw an interview with Sasha with another guy that was speaking his native tongue. And they were going back and forth about his role with the Kings. Did you guys see that?
No, I interview? Didn't. Mm-mm. There was like audio and video of it.
Yeah.
Interesting. And no, I didn't see that.
It was like in a park or something, and it was really informal. And so, you know, when you got an informal situation and someone's talking in their native tongue, they tend to let their guard down a little bit.
Sure.
And Sasha kind of hinted around that, you know, it's really hard to perform when you're playing for 3 minutes and you get yanked, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's I was as excited as anyone this season to hear about Sasha joining the Kings finally and his sharp shooting antics. But I think it was really great to see him get to play extended minutes. And you watch him, like Herter, he's not a born defender, but he works really hard to, you know, help the team in any way he can. So hopefully he'll help fill that gap that huge gap that Monk is leaving us.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Alan. You know, to pull back the curtain a little bit, I do know that there have been conversations around Sasha being more open than maybe people realize about not loving the lack of playing time this season. But to me, that's not even necessarily breaking news, because who likes to sit on the bench?
Yeah.
Right? Everybody wants to play more. I think it's a matter of, hey, I came all the way out here and you guys were aggressively pursuing me and now I can't get time.
Yeah.
So what went wrong? Not really sure, but with Malik Monk going down, everybody's going to have more of an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I do think that Sasha will get a longer look than he got earlier this season, simply because of the numbers.
He's the Kings' best shooter, and they need scoring right now. So I think that Sasha's probably going to get a good run of time. It was interesting to see him get – he got, like, the Kessler-Edwards rotation in the first half. He played 17 seconds, and I think it was the last 17 seconds of the first quarter. So it was kind of strange in trying to figure out how they were going to utilize him. But, yeah, in that second half – I think they played him for like 5 minutes in the third quarter, and then he got a little bit of run in the fourth as well. I think he'll be a part of the rotation, I think. But, I mean, as you just outlined, I mean, Mike Brown has been very frugal with his minutes this year, and I have a tough time seeing in these most important games. It's the reason why we were having the conversation before he was playing. These are really, really important games, and he just hasn't been a part of the rotation, period, all year long. He got 10 minutes last night. He got 9 minutes, 52 seconds. I would guess he's hovering around there, maybe 15 minutes. Like, I don't think Sasha is going to be getting, you know, Davion gets 21, Trey Lyles gets 18. I just don't know if Sasha will get to that point at this point in the season. So, you know, he's probably still going to find himself getting those 3 to 4 minute stints anyway. He's just got to figure out how to make the most of it, because that's the hand he's being dealt right now. And I think maybe next year will be the season for Sasha.
Yeah, and look, there's always a learning curve. Obviously, he EuroLeague MVP, but there are levels to this.
Definitely.
And it's definitely taken a bit longer than I think Kings fans were hoping for.
100%.
And maybe the Kings were hoping for as well. But maybe you rounded out at the right time. And this is where you make your money, and this is where you make your mark when the team needs you. So it's not just about the stars, it's also about the role guys as well. From the 5-3-0, going back to De'Aaron Fox, I do believe Fox can be the best player on a championship team.
That's right.
His very best. Problem is that we don't see his best consistently enough. He was unreal for the first couple months of the season, but I honestly think since his ankle injury, he's been up and down. And then I just remembered the shoulder thing
that wasn't getting reported,
and then we did get that's what happened. And now he's healthy, and I saw somebody else on the text line say, I don't want to see De'Aaron Fox take more than 5 threes ever in a game.
I don't either.
Well, you are. You're definitely going to see that.
So quit asking.
Because he's going to shoot them. And, you know, yeah, his numbers, his three-point numbers have come back down to reality. Yes. But that's part of it. You know, exactly what the 5-3-0 say. You cannot say he can be that guy if he's not that guy all the time.
No, right, exactly.
That's literally part of it.
It's part of it. Absolutely. It's what makes the greats the greats, is the fact that you're able to do it every single night. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys can channel it for a couple games or for a week or for a series or anything like that. It's really tough to play to score 30 points every single night. And that's where, you know, again, we talk about levels. That's the level that Shea's at right now. And and we've said it before, that's probably why his team has been at the top of the Western Conference all year long, because he has maintained that level all year long. If De'Aaron Fox had been scoring 30 points per game and, you know, averaging 40% from three like he was at the beginning of the year, I would almost guarantee the Kings would be a lot closer to the four seed than they are to the eight seed right now. And, you know, again, that's just the reality of the situation. It's tough. Injuries happen. We saw the same thing happen with Tyrese Halliburton. He got hurt halfway through the year, and he has not been the same this second half of the season. It happens, but at the same time, that's not an excuse. Everybody, you know, no one's going to feel bad for you. If you're playing games, you still got to go out there and produce no matter what. De'Aaron hasn't done that this year. And maybe, you know, if I'm an optimist, I'm going to say this is, again, a learning experience. He got to feel what it felt like for a couple months. He realized it's tough to stay at that level. What's he going to do this offseason to make sure that that's easier? Is it going to be conditioning? Is it going to be, you know, oh, I take too many threes, reevaluating his game? And that's going to be all on De'Aaron Fox. But in terms of the question of is he a franchise guy right here, right now, I feel a lot more like he's that 1B or that Robin than a Batman right now. It feels like he's got a great opportunity to show us here, but
that's right.
Off of what I've seen this season, it's not even that he's been willing to take the back seat to Sabonis. It's the fact that I don't even think it was a – I think he did it – I think Sabonis almost did it out of necessity. It felt like Sabonis just kind of saw that for the taking, and not in a malicious way, but he just took it. He said, okay, we need somebody to be here every single night. I'll do it. I will do it.
Yeah, it's hard for me to call somebody 1A when you have someone putting up the numbers that Sabonis put up this season and you have some of the bad losses that you had.
Yeah.
To me, and look, if it's just one, everybody is allowed one stinker.
Totally.
But there were just too many.
Yep.
I can't call you 1A if you're losing to the Blazers and the Hornets and the Pistons at home and you have, and both of you are on the floor. Now, with that being said, all of that can change with these last couple games.
Yep.
All of that can, you can make up for the reason you're in this situation.
Yes.
You have an opportunity to make up for it. You're shorthanded. This is literally out of a storybook.
Pretty much.
Hey, you have an opportunity to show people that you are that guy.
Yep.
It's right,
it's
there
right
for the taking.
Eight games, too. It's not like a crazy long
stretch.
And
it's eight games, and it's not just eight games. It's eight games against
quality
dudes
opponents,
that
right.
you literally have been compared to, right? And in the national media right now, okay, you have the Clippers. Obviously, they're a little bit older, but you got Kawhi, and you got Paul George. Both of those guys are probably thought of as better than De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
What's next, Chris? You got Jalen Brunson. I think people would pick Jalen over De'Aaron Fox this season.
Yeah.
Maybe not in Sacramento, but I think around the NBA, that probably would go to Jalen. What's next? The Celtics, okay? Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. Both of those guys are probably considered better than De'Aaron. And then you get a break against the Nets. After that, Shea, straight up. Kings at Thunder. For all the marbles, okay? Straight up. You got Shea right in front of your face. The Pelicans. Are you going to lose five games to one team? Really? You're going to lose five games to one team?
Yep.
All right?
Yeah.
So after that, you got KD and the Suns. So everything is in front of De'Aaron Fox, and it's an opportunity. And sometimes it makes it better when you're shorthanded, because this is literally an opportunity for De'Aaron to set, because people have the conversation about Malik this season of who is more important to the team. Now there's no Malik. Now there's no security blanket. It's just all you.
Yep.
What are you going to do? Styles and Watkins, we'll be right back. From the 916 Folsom Mike, Fox is a borderline superstar. I like when he plays mad, but he defers too much sometimes. And games like the second Mavs game doesn't help. Kyrie and Luka played that game like a true superstar. Fox sadly didn't. He's got it in him, though. Can't wait for it to come out 99% of the time. From Folsom Mike. I think the issue is the franchise guys, right, or most franchise guys, it seems like right now, and I think Jason Tatum might suffer from this too. A lot of times, franchise guys are generational.
Right.
And right now, it feels like, and I don't know if Shea's going to be generational, but Luka, generational. Jokic, generational. LeBron, Steph, the list goes on and on. Then you have, I would say maybe Giannis as well. I mean, he's literally called the Greek Freak. So then you have a different level of franchise guys that are really, really good, but probably not generational. Jason Tatum is not generational to me. And I think that is why people have some cause to pause with De'Aaron, because he's really good, but there are teams out here with superstars that are literally generational.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a tough era to play in right now because, you know, yeah, there's just everybody's got a star, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a guy that they think
is
at that level. Yeah. Even the Charlotte Hornets would say LaMelo Ball is at that level. Like, there's not the Detroit Pistons, worst team in the NBA. They're going to tell you Cade Cunningham is a guy who can be at that level.
Every year there's a guy.
Every year there's a guy.
And there are more coming in.
Every single year a guy comes. San Antonio. They just got a guy.
Right.
Even if you don't have a guy, you're just in the process of getting a guy.
You're looking for a guy.
So, yeah, I mean, De'Aaron is definitely, obviously, the Kings guy. And it's tough for me because I don't want to discount the playoffs last year, because De'Aaron 100% for three games there until he broke his finger, went toe-to-toe with Steph Curry and was equal. You know, Steph definitely was just a half step better, but the fact that De'Aaron was able to reach that level, to me, showed this guy's capable of being that star. And I think that's who the 99% of the time that the texter references, that's the guy that we think. But he's just not that guy every day. And there are guys who are at a different level than him. I think he's really, really, really good. But I kind of think in an ideal world, he's best suited like a Kyrie Irving, where Kyrie is absolutely a superstar. He's absolutely somebody who I think we know is capable of having monster nights. But I think he kind of needs that other guy to help. And it's not even really shaded to De'Aaron. Again, it's probably more even a statement of where this league is at, that nobody, unless you are generational, like a Jokic, like a Luka, like a Giannis, no one can really do it by themselves unless you're just an absolute top three player in the NBA. And it's no disrespect to say De'Aaron's not a top three player in the NBA. He needs somebody else who's going to be able to lift this team to another level. And I think it's out there. You know, Paul George is definitely a guy that I would consider as another, you know, maybe De'Aaron would be a 1A, but Paul George would be a really close 1B. I just feel like De'Aaron, he's not good enough to just be the one guy that's lifting the entire boat.
But again,
and I don't think that's necessarily disrespectful. Again, I just kind of think that's the state of the league.
But again, you got 8 games to shut people like us up.
Sure.
Literally.
Yeah.
It's right in front of you. And here's the thing. If Luka is generational, and they haven't even been able to figure out what is going to work with Luka.
Right.
He had Jalen Brunson. Yeah. He had Porzingis. And now he's got Kyrie.
So where does this question also go to? I can maybe hear some people saying, De'Aaron has a number two, and it's Domantas Sabonis. Mm-hmm. So are we maybe not – why are we maybe not having the same conversation about Domantas Sabonis, who is the one who's more likely to be on the All-NBA list at this point? Is it because he's already providing so much that it would almost be – selfish to ask for more from him as well?
You're saying, why am I not looking at Sabonis to step up?
Not necessarily. Yes,
with Malik
being
out.
In general, the question, yeah.
But he's been that all season, though.
But it hasn't been enough.
He's a walking triple-double.
Because De'Aaron's been great, too. De'Aaron's at 20, just under 27 a game. He's averaging more points than anybody else is on the team.
Well, then we're talking about maybe you have two Robins.
Absolutely.
You have two wide receiver twos.
Yeah. Because Sabonis, we can have the same conversation of like, he's been fantastic. He's been great. But does he have another level to go to? Like, I know that De'Aaron, we all know De'Aaron takes this team as far as he goes. He's the head of the snake, all that stuff. But at the same time, I'm here saying De'Aaron Fox, he's great, but he needs that other guy next to him. Well, I don't know how much you wait. So you want three All-NBA play? Like, you know, at what point?
That's a good point.
Are you have the help that you need? Do you really need more help? Like, doesn't he already have the support? Is Sabonis enough? Can he use Sabonis enough to get this team to where they need to go? And again, is that on De'Aaron? I would say De'Aaron has more of the room of improvement. Mm-hmm. Sabonis, we've seen every single night he's giving us what he can give us. We don't think Sabonis can go from averaging 20 to 26 a game. It feels like De'Aaron could go from his 25 a game back up to 30.
That's how I feel about it. But then also, if both of them do their thing and it still doesn't work, right? And it's, hey, they showed up, but it's the other guys.
Yeah.
Well, then that's a conversation that we have about Harrison Barnes and Keegan Murray. Then we can have that. I would rather have that conversation than Keegan giving you 15 to 25 and you don't end up winning because De'Aaron was the one. Right. I would much rather have the conversation about the other guys and where Keegan's ceiling is and how to move on from Harrison Barnes versus those guys actually showed up.
Right.
And De'Aaron and Sabonis to a lesser degree did it.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully that is the story. I mean, I'm right there with you. I would much rather have that be the case. I think the bigger thing is just like it can't down the stretch here. We cannot go through these games and have it the finger being pointed at them. It has to be, to your point, everybody else's fault except for them.
Because that's the issue, the lack of depth. Mm-hmm. It was too much to overcome, and it is what it is. But if that's not the reason, then again, there are going to be some difficult conversations this summer. But hopefully, we don't get there. And it all starts tomorrow night against three guys, really. Yep. That I was just going to say Paul George and Kawhi, but throw James Harden in there, too.
And we know Zubac gives Sabonis problems,
for
too.
Some odd reason, he just doesn't jump.
Can't have it. We can't have that tomorrow.
No, you're at home. You got to get it done. There's just no time anymore. Yep. When we return, continuing the conversation, also talking a little March Madness. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. This is an interesting one, Chris, from the 916. I would take less triple doubles if it meant Domas would get over 25 points a game. We need Domas to score just a little bit more. Those 15, 12, and 10 games are okay, but I'd rather see 28 and 10.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Sabonis he doesn't really have, you know, if we want to have a bad conversation.
How is he getting the 20?
How is he getting it? He's not a great finisher. Yeah. If he's getting to the line, he's hitting those at like 70%. So, you know, I don't know if him necessarily looking for his shot more would make the team better, because it would probably be a lot of forcing it, you know?
Yeah, I'm not. Right, with no, and somebody I think on the SAC chat talked about Domas's mid-range jumper. With no consistent jumper, if you look around the league at other centers, that's why nobody is scoring that much, because he's just limited.
Yeah, he does.
Scoring-wise,
absolutely.
And really,
and that's not maximizing. His value is in setting other guys up.
Right, and to the 916, it's not as if, he could use more energy scoring versus the assists. I mean, he's still going to be passing.
Yep.
I guess instead of passing, he'd be shooting. But I don't know that the reason he's not getting 28 points is because he's doing too much other stuff. He just, you know what it is. He's going to set the tone early in the game. Mm-hmm. He's going to go shoulder, shoulder, shoulder. He's going to get to the free throw line. And then but when it gets deeper into the game, It's De'Aaron Fox time, or it was Malik Monk time, something like that. That's just the recipe that they have.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, his value, like, I would just say it's not going anywhere. Again, like, Sabonis' real value is in not his regular assist, it's a screen assist. And that's just not going anywhere. He leads the league by a wide margin in screen assists, and it's a byproduct of his assists. He's just naturally looking to get guys open and then give them the ball. That's not going anywhere. If anything, it's going to increase even more. They're going to require Mike Brown in the audio we just played. Mike Brown talked about how it's not just about scoring with De'Aaron and Sabonis. What's the one number that really sticks out from yesterday? De'Aaron Fox, 12 assists. That is directly Mike Brown saying, look, De'Aaron, you can't. We just had the conversation. You can score 30. Sure, that's going to help. Mm-hmm. But what's really going to help is if you make Kessler Edwards a viable option for us by giving him good looks. That's really how those guys can truly show their value is by making sure those other guys besides them are comfortable and getting good looks as well.
Yeah, and Family Schlegel on the YouTube, on the Sack Chat, is saying assist still counts for a minimum of 2 points.
That's right.
For your team.
That's right.
So how many points is Domas associated with per game versus what he's actually just putting up himself?
That's, I mean, I know they have that number. It's like PRF. It's like points responsible
for. I'm sure his is crazy.
It's got to be him, Luka, and Jokic at the top of the league, and I don't even think anyone would be close. I'll look into it real quick.
Yeah, so I don't know if you talk about a bag or whatever it is, you know, Sabonis' bag isn't too deep, but he sets the tone, and then from there, that's where you get the spray threes, and that's where you get other people involved. And without Sabonis, I mean, the usage is just crazy, right? I don't think I have to tell anybody here that. And no, he's not going to put up 30 points. That's just not – that's not where his value is, at least not on
exactly.
this team. So let's get to the phone lines. And Chris wants to be a part of the conversation.
Wow, we've had Alan and Chris on
that's
the
right,
line?
That's right. That's right. 916-339-1140. Chris, what you got for us?
So I got a question. I hear all this talk about Trey Lyles needs to step up and Chris needs to step up. And I don't understand. Why can't Keegan Murray step up? Why can't Harrison Barnes step up more? Why can't they get a couple more shots in because of Malik Monk's rest? I hear all this other talk about everybody else but the other two starters.
Mm-hmm.
They're viable for us, too. This opens up spots for him to shoot, too, so I just don't understand why all the talk about everybody else but them two when we need them two to step up a little more and take a little more shots.
No, yeah, you're right, Chris. Thanks for the call. I mean, I've said that, and you've said the same thing. Keegan, greenest of lights.
Yeah, we
right?
just talked about it earlier.
The issue is, and maybe it just it is what it is, but the issue is you have Keegan Murray, who's only in his second year,
yep.
and you have Harrison Barnes, who he is who he is. I mean, we can sit here and talk about Harrison Barnes and hey, we need more, but that's, I mean, Chris Watkins, that's been an evergreen conversation with you for years. Harrison Barnes is who he is.
Sure.
Sometimes you're going to get 24, 25 points randomly, probably in a game where you don't necessarily need it.
That's right.
But are you going to get 24, 25 points tomorrow when you need it against the Clippers?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Now, he did have a nice stretch, the revenge tour.
That's right.
Where he went off against the Kings. He went off against the Warriors.
The Hawks, Warriors, and
yes,
Mavs.
Yes. Yeah. And he did some things there.
Yep.
But Harrison Barnes is just going to – I'd love to sit here and say it's not that he shouldn't. It's that – I'm not going to say it, but we've seen this.
We've seen that movie before.
That's
the reality
and that's
of the situation.
And that's not a good excuse, but that's just – I
look, man, I expected Harrison. I wanted Harrison to hit that three on Friday. Draymond said it. I'm sorry. We've seen that movie before.
And again,
who he is at this point.
Maybe he gets hot. Maybe this sparks a nice run for Harrison Barnes. Now is the time. Okay. You get 24 points from Harrison. Yeah. Should his volume go up? I would say so.
Yeah.
You know, Keegan Murray took 12 threes yesterday.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the start of it. Hopefully.
But we've needed it all year.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem is that, you know, it again, now, beforehand, it was, wouldn't it be nice if Harrison contributed at that level? Wouldn't it be great if Keegan was that aggressive for a shot every night? It would be wouldn't it be great? Now it is a matter of, no, we absolutely need it. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know if, you know, this team could have really used it all year long. I guess, you know, the sense of urgency could change things, but I think at the end of the day, these guys are going to fall back into who they are. And at this point, this season, they haven't felt like they have been needed to imprint at this level. And I would say that the Kings desperately have needed them. And I just don't expect it to change. I think it's great that it's a great step in the right direction to see them put up those numbers. But we'll see what happens, you know, when things start to get ugly. Do you continue to have that level of aggressiveness or are you going to defer to De'Aaron and put the ball in his hands and say, you know, I don't feel comfortable creating my shot right now. Let's live and die with you.
Yeah, one thing as far as Malik Monk and everything that the Kings have lost, not just the scoring, but also the ball handling.
Playmaking.
The Kings do not have a lot of ball handlers
No, they have none.
With Malik Monk now out,
it's De'Aaron Fox.
They have De'Aaron Fox.
And, you know, Keegan, we couldn't tell if he was joking yesterday. He talked about how he stepped up as a playmaker. He had 3 assists yesterday. I mean, that's better than what he normally does, but 3, that's not good enough. Like, Malik Monk sets the table for that second unit completely. They just run pick and roll over and over and over again with him and Sabonis. And if De'Aaron's not going to be out there, even if it is only going to be for 8 to 10 minutes a game, they need somebody to be able to create shots for others. It can't just be Sabonis. Davion. It can't just be the handoffs over and over, because we've seen that it can get stagnant. Mm-hmm. It's going to be on Davion. Davion had a pretty good game. He had 3 assists last night in 20 minutes. I think Keon had 3 assists as well. Like, it might just have to be a collaborative effort. It might have to be De'Aaron's not out there. We don't have a designated point guard at that point. You get the rebound, or you're the best ball handler near the rebound, you're bringing it up, and we just get into our offense that way. It might just not be as clean. We still have to see. I mean, it's still so early, but somebody's going to have to step up in that role, especially if we get into a clutch situation. Cover your eyes, because I think it's just going to be De'Aaron the entire time in the clutch. That's really where they're going to miss a guy like Malik.
Well, yeah. Gentlemen, should we hear from – we do have Barnes Sound talking about stepping up.
Yeah.
Do we want to hear from them?
Let's hear it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime a guy like Malik is not playing, you know, you can't replace that necessarily, how dynamic he is offensively, his playmaking ability. So we knew coming into this game we had to do it as a collective. You know, we had to just rely on the pass. We knew – it was going to come from somewhere, somebody, you know, getting hot, making shots, but just everyone just being ready. And I think just moving forward, just kind of having that same mindset of just trusting the pass, trusting our movement, and just relying on the offense to create offense for us.
Yeah, a day like yesterday where everything goes right, I'm looking here at the assist numbers, and they all look great.
Exactly.
They look great.
Yeah.
Will it continue?
Yeah. They made 23s also yesterday. We've talked a lot about how things get really easily massaged when the Kings make their jumpers, but you bring that number down to 37%, 38%. How much are they willing to fight for that win?
When we return, continuing to talk Kings, also Final Four. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Chris, the Niners over-under is out. And I could be getting April Fool's, by the way, but I did come across it. It says 11.5.
Yes. No, you have not been fooled. That is correct.
Over.
Yeah.
Over.
I would think so. What, they won 13 last year? Was it 14? They lost 3 games, 17 weeks. Yeah. Yeah. No, they lost 4.
They were 12-5.
Wow.
Yeah. Then when you see that, you're thinking,
you know, I remember that Christmas game so well.
That's right.
Oh, Merry my gosh. Christmas. That's right. I definitely blacked that one out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the painful October stretch.
That's right. The 3 games in a row. Yeah.
Browns and the Vikings.
Browns, Vikings, and Bengals. Mm-hmm. Bengals as well. I don't know. I mean, that's tough. Like, because that's a question of essentially, I mean, are the Niners – did the Niners get worse, or A, or B, did the other teams – get better as well?
Right.
I mean, you know, it could be as simple as that. We probably have to look at their schedule as well to see the opponents they play. I'd imagine they play a first place schedule, so they're going to play all the division winners, and that obviously adds to the difficulty of it. You know, I bet smart money would probably take the under.
Probably. But I mean, it's been a long stretch
it
here.
It feels on the surface to take the over.
Yeah. And their division, if you think their division
that's
is,
true
is
too,
better
right.
or worse, you got to think the Cardinals
be
will
tough
be
for
better.
It to be worse. Yeah.
Yeah. From the 530, if Davion is the answer, then the Kings aren't going to succeed. Well, Davion has been playing pretty well and doing some playmaking of his own, but
he'll have to be a piece.
It depends on your definition of success, sure. I would say.
And answer.
It's just about getting into the dance. That's all you want to do. And after that, we'll see what happens. 916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get out to Ashley, who wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, Ashley? What you got for us?
First off, a little off topic, but I wanted to start off by saying, I don't know if you guys heard, but condolences and all that going out to the Vontae Davis family. passed away at a young age of 35, mm-hmm. former Bills corner. But the main reason I was wanting to call in was because I think that the Monk injury, as bad as it is, and it is a very, very, very bad one, and it's something that most certainly is going to hurt the Kings more than likely. I think this actually also gives a little bit of a golden opportunity in the sense of with the playoffs, it's more of a defensive game, and we are going to have guys like Dion and Davion stepping up, and it's going to be hard to replace what Malik does offensively, but defensively, I think that we could end up in a really good spot and potentially end up playing some really solid defense and holding teams down to like 100 or so, kind of like the Knicks. And what's your thoughts on that?
Thanks for the call, Ashley. Yes. And yeah, great call on Vontae Davis. Prayers go out to the family who he passed away. And yeah, that's just a sad situation. Thanks for the call, Ashley. It's definitely a good thought as far as the Kings defensively. So again, 15 points, 5 assists, 5.5 assists a game. That's where Malik was at. And obviously, if you put that production on paper, it does not tell the full story of how important Malik Monk is to that team. But if you do put it on paper, you think, yeah, better defense and hopefully you get that 15 from a collection of people. Yeah, maybe there is a world where the Kings are better set up, I guess, on the defensive end for the playoffs than they would be with Malik. But again, that's assuming that you're getting Malik's production somewhere else.
Sure. It's just we're 8 games left in the season. We have like 2 weeks. It's just really tough to wholesale change your identity as a team with 8 games to go. Like, you don't have many practices to figure out rotations. You also, again, why this is now a lot of pressure is now on Mike Brown in my eyes is because you've seen all of these guys play all year long. You've got to push the right buttons right now. Like, you cannot have bad Duarte minutes. You can't have bad Kessler minutes, bad Sasha minutes. You have to nail all of those rotational decisions, and this is why you've been so random from the fans' perspective of your rotations, because you got a good look at everybody. You should have an understanding of how everyone's going to act in a certain situation. I kind of feel like down the stretch here, they're definitely going to need to play better defense, but at the same time, I just don't know if they're going to become a team like the Knicks. That's what I said earlier, is they can lean towards being more defensive, but at the end of the day, at this point, you are who you are. You run what you run. You can't really switch that up all too much. You can run more pick and roll, but at the end of the day, these guys are still going to be dribble handoffs. They're still going to be trying to get out in transition, and they're just going to have to find different ways of winning. Can you win on the offensive glass? Can you win the possession battle in general? Can you force more turnovers, being more chaotic? They're going to have to look a little bit different, because there's no way you can play the same style without Malik and Kevin Huerter out
there. And it's got to come from somewhere. And if Davion, as much as we've talked about Keon, Davion has played some great basketball lately.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not just a 3-and-D guy. He's been getting into the paint. He's shot a couple mid-ranges. Yep. He's got a little bit of a floater going. So Davion, to me, and it's so crazy with how long a season goes, there are dudes that we just don't even talk or think about for weeks. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, this person could really help you in the playoffs. And I think that could be a Davion Mitchell. We know what he does defensively against some of the other guards in the league, and he's going to have an opportunity. We get the – Chris, right after this Clippers situation, you get the remake, and I know we're talking about Davion, but you get Keon's revenge on Jalen Brunson. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got to avenge the look away.
He does. He really
does. I don't know how.
No.
Maybe
clamp
a new
him.
Career high.
All game.
You got to clamp him up.
Yeah. No,
you have to.
That's a great. I really wish. That's very, very keen of you to observe. I didn't even consider that, but you're right. Like, you know, Keon's gonna have to absolutely step up. He got 28 minutes last night. They have not been playing, even though Keon's been starting, he has not been playing that many minutes. it's going to be big on him too. Like, he's going to have to step up. I'm looking at the defensive numbers yesterday. 4 of 8 against Keon Ellis isn't ideally what you're looking for. Davion Mitchell, though, yesterday held opponents 1 of 9 when guarded by Davion.
Off night.
So that is off night right there. And you're going to need those two guys to really set the tone. And then De'Aaron, 3 steals, 2 blocks yesterday. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing a more defensive-minded roster out here or defensive-minded rotations. I just, at the end of the day, I mean, we just have seen so many times these games come down to the Kings knocking down shots. So even if the defense is improved, at the end of the day, if they're not hitting threes, I don't think that they're not going to play defense if they're not hitting shots. We've seen it's changed a little bit here recently, but too many times we've seen that this team does kind of base their effort off of whether or not they're hitting shots or not.
And defensively tomorrow night, I mean, Harrison Barnes, you need Harrison because they don't have just one wing, they have two.
Yep.
Because you can only put Keegan on Paul George or Kawhi.
Yep.
You can't put him on both. Yep. So.
And they're probably going to attack whichever one he's not on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And we've seen it be Paul George. We've seen it be Kawhi. I don't think Keegan or HB can stop either of those guys or really slow them down. So, you know, can you just make it hard for those guys? I mean, and then you have to deal with James Harden too. I would assume they put Keon on James. You know, it's going to be tough. Not every team is going to look like the Utah Jazz. None of them are, actually. The Kings only have two more easy games against Brooklyn and then end of the season against the Blazers. Now is the time for everybody to step up.
And I'll tell you what, absolutely. I was nervous yesterday. I was nervous for that Sunday game. Yeah. Now they move to, 5-4?
Yeah, that's right.
On Sundays. 916-339-1140. Let's get to Craig, who wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, Craig? What you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have a different opinion on who Keegan is than you guys claim that he's going to revert back to after his showing last night into falling asleep in the corner as a spacer of the offense only. My opinion on it is that the guy haven't taken his training wheels off. The way the offense works and the way the fourth quarter especially where Fox goes one-on-one all the time, he's not able to do those. He can't kick the ball. He doesn't have the vision or he doesn't go to it quick enough in the rotation to get the ball to people. But last night, if you saw, they ran a different set where Keegan was lining up almost like at the high post.
Mm-hmm.
And he was acting as a second screen for Fox as he got into his, you know, his action in the key. And Keegan's wide open, and Fox actually did get to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally think that the Kings internally have realized that Fox in the fourth quarter isn't as productive as he was last year, and they're trying to find ways to get Keegan going. So I think, you know, I would hold that comment that you made that he's going to revert back to who he is. Let's watch the next nine games and see what they're forced into because of being shorthanded.
Thanks for the call, Craig. Yeah, I mean, hopefully he doesn't. We want Keegan to continue to shoot and to continue to be aggressive, and that all starts tomorrow night against the Clippers, or I guess continues tomorrow night, hopefully, against the Clippers. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.